All right. Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, November 19th. It is the Monday before Thanksgiving. And so we thought it would be wonderful to have our annual exploration and celebration of the power of gratitude. This is absolutely one of my favorite topics. Whenever I talk about this at church, people always say, "Oh, you just light up when you talk about gratitude." And I think it's because gratitude has such incredible power in our lives. So hopefully you can see the screen. The text for this call is pretty much going to be contained in this PDF, which I'll send out afterwards. And then, of course, I'll ad-lib like crazy. So on this Monday before Thanksgiving, I believe everyone on this call has so much to be thankful for. And yet what I'm realizing is it's easy for us to forget to be grateful. Even those of us who have studied gratitude and teach gratitude and try to practice gratitude, it is so easy in our day-to-day lives as we get caught up in the busyness to forget to be grateful. And to forget that what we have and what we have to be grateful for, others only dream about. Right? It's so important to put our lives into perspective and to remember how important it is to be grateful for what we have. So the importance of gratitude has been acknowledged for thousands of years. The philosopher Cicero wrote that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but is the parent of all the others. Gratitude nurtures and supports love, compassion, forgiveness, and generosity. And I think we can all agree those are qualities that we want to demonstrate in the world. In fact, those are qualities that probably many of you have on your standards of integrity card, right? And Cicero's premise was that when we stay in a space of gratitude, in an attitude and an energy of gratitude, we are actually supporting and creating those other qualities. So everyone agrees. Foster McClellan said, the kingdom of heaven is activated by our praise and thanksgiving. It responds to thankfulness. Myrtle Fillmore, who is the founder of my denomination, said, praise and thanksgiving have within them the quickening or enlivening. Quickening means enlivening power that produces growth and increase. Muhammad said, gratitude for the abundance you have received is the best insurance that that abundance will continue. That's kind of an interesting thought. And Elizabeth Sand Turner taught that gratitude opens our consciousness to receive more, or opens that energetic field for us to receive more. Whoops. Sorry about that, guys. Didn't want to do that. There we go. All right. So that all sounds beautiful and it all sounds eloquent, but in a very practical sense, what does that mean? Right? Why should we specifically feel and express our gratitude? Well, from a very practical standpoint, it turns out that gratitude is good for us. It's good for us physically. It's good for us emotionally. It's just flat out good for us. People who describe themselves as feeling grateful to others and to a higher power or to creation in general, they tend to have higher vitality. So they have more energy, they have more optimism, they suffer less stress and experience fewer episodes of clinical depression. And they even factored out things such as age and health and income, which equalize for the fact that we would assume that people who are young or well-to-do or super healthy might have more to be grateful for. They actually factored all of that out and said that it was still true that people who describe themselves as feeling grateful were healthier and had more energy than the general population. They also found that grateful people tend to be less materialistic than the population as a whole. The stuff just doesn't matter as much to them. They tend to suffer less anxiety about status or the accumulation of that stuff, of possessions. And partly because of this, people who are generally grateful, they describe themselves as more happy or satisfied with their lives. So it seems like the more grateful we are, the less we're really concerned about what other people think about us, right? Or how much stuff we have, that we're just so grateful for what we had. Then they did an experiment with college students, and they had them keep a gratitude journal, a daily record of things that they felt grateful for. And they found that those college students who kept the gratitude journal, again, were more healthy, were more optimistic, they exercised more regularly, and they described themselves as happier than the control group who kept no journals. And again, they factored out, you know, this was an actual scientific study. They factored out all other factors. And sure enough, people who kept a gratitude journal were happier and healthier. They also found that grateful people are more spiritually aware. They're just, you know, kind of more aware of the interconnectedness of life. And this has nothing to do with being religious or belonging to any specific religion. It was just this sense of we're all in this together, right? So an appreciation for one another, appreciation for the planet, that feeling gratitude really increases that sense of interconnectedness. So I remembered hearing about gratitude journals before I found these studies, and I went back to this book that called Simple Abundance. And it was by Sarah Von Breathnach, and she spends an entire chapter talking about the power of keeping a gratitude journal. She recommends doing it at night. She talks at length in the book about that when we do this at night, we're really we're kind of programming our brain to be focused on something positive before we go to sleep, which actually helps it then to integrate as those memories integrate in our sleep. And she says that some days our gratitude journal is going to be full of really big things, right? Like the birth of a child or a grandchild, getting a promotion, a huge sale, right? Getting a new car. She says your dog learning a new trick. For me, it would be the new dog sleeping through the night, right? And she says that on some days, it's going to be hard to even come up with five little things. And yet, those are the days that it's most important to write in your journal. Those are the days that we want to put down the things that we take for granted, right? Back to what I talked about at the beginning of the call. You know, be grateful for those things that we take most for granted. Our health, our families, our car starting, you know, I look at our country and how we take things for granted, like hot and cold running water. You know, there are huge millions of people in the world that don't have hot and cold running water. And yet we take so for granted that when we turn that faucet, you know, hot and cold running clean, you know, drinkable hot and cold running water is going to come out of our faucet. So on those days where it feels like nothing is going right, those are really the days where we need to be focused on what we can be grateful for, and particularly those things that we wouldn't even think about being grateful for. And she ends her teaching about this by saying, the gratitude journal is not an option. Why? Because you simply will not be the same person 2 months from now after consciously giving thanks each day for the abundance that exists in your life. And you will have set in motion an ancient spiritual law. The more you have and are grateful for, the more will be given you. So before I go on to the next page, I want to ask, have any of you, do any of you or have any of you had a gratitude practice such as keeping a gratitude journal? And what was your experience?
Oh boy, it's so important, Stephanie. Every night before I go to sleep, I annoy Donna because she doesn't go to sleep easily. I go to sleep in like 7 seconds. But what I do is I turn up my light and I lie there and I run through the people I'm grateful for and the things that I'm grateful for that happened during that day. And I go to sleep peacefully. I have great dreams. It's reinforced in this book I just started reading, Thanks a Thousand, by A.J. Jacobs. What he did was, he's a spiritual guy, but he doesn't believe in a God. And so he used to say thanks. And his teenage son gave him a burn and said, well, you know, why don't you thank the people more often? And he said, well, what does he really enjoy that he's grateful for? His cup of coffee. So he thanks 1,000 people that are integral towards him getting his morning cup of coffee, including like the guy who plates the double yellow lines, on the road so the trucks get there safely, and the coffee growers, and the guy who invented the little cardboard sleeve that keeps you from getting burned. It's an amazing book on gratitude. And he says it's the single best predictor, not him, Scientific America says, it's the single best predictor of well-being and good relationships, beating out 24 other impressive traits such as hope, love, and creativity.
Mike, you just absolutely proved the first 10 minutes of this call. That's brilliant.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's there is so much science behind the energy of gratitude. Yeah. Anybody else have a gratitude practice and the effect it's had on you?
Stephanie, I don't predict, this is Vinita. I don't have a gratitude practice per se, though when I do feel grateful, and I truly feel grateful, no matter what's going on, you just have this sense of peace and ease that things yeah. will work out, or whatever it is that you want or not want. There's definitely that ease available when I do practice, but I will take it on doing Mike's gratitude list of doing it at night. So thank you, Mike, and thank you, Stephanie. Yeah.
Yes, that's brilliant. And Vinita, you know what you're really speaking to there, back to our definition of success. Success is doing what you said you would do consistently with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. I'm gonna talk about this a little bit more in a couple of weeks. On our call, getting through the holidays with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. But remember, grace is our capacity to be grateful for everything on our journey. So you just spoke to that eloquently. When we are in that place of gratitude, we experience ease and grace, right? We move into that energy of ease and grace. So that was a brilliant observation. And that leads to the second reason. Right. The first reason to practice gratitude is because it is literally good for us, right, to practice gratitude. The second reason is because it reminds us that giving and receiving are the same thing, right? It helps us stay in that place of being connected and understanding that giving and receiving it's a cycle. Right? It's a cycle. It's a flow. Thomas A. Kempis said, be thankful for the smallest thing and you will be worthy to receive something greater. You know, and I was talking to the kids about this at church yesterday. I said, have you ever given somebody a gift and they don't say thank you, right? Or you give them a gift that you really worked hard on and they were kind of like, oh yeah, thanks, whatever. And I said, how'd that make you feel? And the kids were all like, well, it doesn't feel good. And I said, yeah. I said, well, that's kind of how it is in life. You know, when we receive something and we're not grateful for it, why should the person, the situation, or the universe give us more, right? If we're not saying, oh my gosh, this was great, thank you so much. I said, if someone doesn't thank you for a gift, do you feel like giving them more gifts? And they were all like, well, no. I said, yeah. And it's not that we give gifts to get appreciated. We give gifts because we love to give. And yet, energetically, there's a disconnect when we give of ourselves or we give a gift and there's no acknowledgement, right? There's no appreciation. And that energy, it really stalls that energy. Right. And so this is the second reason to express gratitude, is to stay in that flow of giving and receiving, right? To stay in that flow of giving and receiving and gratitude. You know, Mike teases me because I love Pollyanna remember the book and the movie Pollyanna. She is truly a hero of mine. I have been called Pollyanna my entire life. And I know people think of it as an insult, but I take it as a compliment. I say, thank you so much. Because Pollyanna was tough, man. She had a really rough life. You know, she wasn't naive. She didn't have an easy childhood. She was an orphan, for Pete's sake. And her parents were missionaries, and they were poor. And their life was a struggle. And then when she became orphan, she had to go live with her Aunt Polly. Pollyanna was her Aunt Polly's namesake. And her Aunt Polly was miserable and cranky and grumpy and negative and not fun to be around. But Pollyanna made a choice, right? She didn't see the good in everything because her life had been easy. She made a choice to look for the good in her life, to view people and situations as opportunities to do good in her life, even when there was a whole bunch of evidence to the contrary. And this is one of the most powerful aspects of gratitude, right? When something bad happens to us. I have a friend recently who just lost a job that they'd had for 33 years. And he was devastated. He's like, you know, what am I going to do? And we've been really working on moving him into a place of gratitude and seeing this as an opportunity, right? This is an opportunity to try something new and to do something different and to see yourself in a different light. Because he immediately went to, there's nothing else I can do. Well, the more we talked about it, the more we realized, well, yeah, there really is more that you can do, right? And losing your job is really the impetus to get you to see that. To see this as an opportunity. And one of the ways we do that is to become grateful for it. So one of the scenes in the movie that I absolutely loved was she was talking to a minister, and it was played by Carl Malden. And with the prompting of Pollyanna's Aunt Polly, this minister was really like real fire and brimstone, like would get up there every Sunday and just yell at people and tell them how awful they were and, you know, and they'd better shape up. And, you know, Aunt Polly would actually feed him scriptures to chastise people with. And so Pollyanna was talking to the minister, and she showed him this locket that had been worn by his father before his death. And inside the locket was a quote by Abraham Lincoln. And it said, when you look for the bad in mankind, expecting to find it, you surely will. And she shared with this minister, when my father found that, it had a huge impact on him. And it made him realize that the opposite was also true. If you've done any of Gretchen Rubin's work, Gretchen Rubin is an expert on happiness. She's written The Happiness Project, Better Than Before, Happier at Home, The Four Tendencies, and she's, through her own personal research on happiness, has become quite the expert. And one of her posits is that the opposite of a great truth is also true. Now, notice I'm saying great truth, right? We're talking wisdom, not little truth. But this is a great truth. If you look for the bad in mankind expecting to find it, you surely will. And the opposite of it was also true. And so her father decided, I'm going to look for the good. I'm just going to put on good blinders and I'm going to start looking for the good. And so he went back to the Bible and he began searching, because this was, you know, he was a minister doing research for his talk. And he found 826 references to joy and gladness. 826 references. And he realized that expressing gratitude is recognizing the potential for joy in every experience. And so finally, we need to express gratitude because it helps us reframe our experience. It helps us see that everything that has happened in our life has brought us to now, right? Just like my friend who's reframing his experience of losing his job. You know, and Khalil Gibran is one of my favorite authors, and he says this so beautifully. He says, your joy is your sorrow unmasked, and the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. So gratitude helps us to see that our joy is our sorrow unmasked. So think about that for a minute, right? Think about a time in your life where something happened that you decided was bad, right? Oh, this is a horrible, bad thing, like my friend losing his job. And then you look back in hindsight and in retrospect and see that it put you on a path to something greater, right? Does anyone have any experience like that? Or any experience like that that they'd like to share?
Yes, it's Vanita. So when I had my stroke and I was paralyzed half my body, I think I was more like looking at, okay, what's years later? I have helped countless people with their well-being. Nice. And so I consider that stroke to be a gift.
Yes, absolutely. Benita, that is a wonderful example. You know, I think so often when we can reframe the difficult times that we've gone through and ask ourselves, and this is, you know, this is a question as coaches that we're always looking at, is how can I turn this into an opportunity to make a contribution, right? How can I turn this experience that feels so awful in the moment into an opportunity to make a contribution? And gratitude helps us to do that. So David Owen Ritz created a wonderful course called The Keys to the Kingdom. And he quoted Emerson, "As a man thinketh, so is he, and as a man chooseth, so is he, and so is his nature." And then Thoreau, "The universe constantly and obediently answers to our conceptions," which is very frightening when you think about that. And that is, this is what David says, "Your thoughts and conscious choices shape your character and your nature. The universe responds to that constantly and faithfully. Thus, the ultimate responsibility for your life naturally belongs to you." And I used one of the reframes we like to use at Your Coaching Matters: the ultimate privilege for creating your life belongs to you. Now, I would be remiss as your coach to not point out that several of the things we've looked at in this call are consistent with the four boxes. Remember? I know that popped up to Mike and Donna. Our conclusions create the filters which determine what we see, how we show up, and ultimately what we experience. So Emerson, Thoreau, all of the teachers that I quoted, Pollyanna, everyone recognized, and Pollyanna's father, that if we create a conclusion that there is something in this situation to be grateful for, that's the filter that is going to be, that our brain is going to create. And our brain is going to search out evidence to support that conclusion, right? So this is not just woo-woo, oh, we'll all just be happy, you know, if we're more grateful. Again, this is science, right? Because here's the thing, if we have a conclusion that there is something in this situation to be grateful for, and I am determined to gather evidence, as a friend of mine says, I am determined to find the blessing in this, how am I going to show up in box three? How are we going to show up in our box three if we are determined to find something to be grateful for?
Inquisitive, eager, joyous.
Joyous, there you go, as opposed to cranky and frustrated and all of those symptoms of incoherence, right? So this is not just, you know, oh, this is going to make me whistle a happy tune. This is actually going to help me to show up differently in the world. It's very hard to be sad or angry and resentful when you insist on seeing the good in every situation. And when you insist on being grateful for whatever shows up in your life, right? Now, this isn't denying anything about our situation. It's not denying. My friend has not denied that he lost his job. He lost his job, right? Period. But he's finding the good in it, right? He's looking for, how can I reframe this into an opportunity? And that's what helped the college students. And that was the power behind Pollyanna. So I want to ask you a question. How is being grateful good for your business? Right? And I want you to look at this. How could focusing on gratitude benefit your business? We already know it benefits us physically, emotionally, spiritually. It benefits our relationships, our energy, our attitude. So how could all of that benefit your business or increase your sales or help you to build your database? How could gratitude help you to build your database?
Here's an easy one. Today in my list in my database, there were 5 people that had sold their houses here in Georgia and moved somewhere else here in Georgia. And all 5 of them, I wrote, "Happy Thanksgiving. I'm really grateful for you because of a sincere reason," in each of the cases. And as I said, as always, you know, we're here to answer any real estate questions you or anyone you know have. I've already gotten 2 responses, but the simple act of me being willing to be grateful gave me a lot of ease in making those five contacts this morning. And I mean, who doesn't like getting an email that says, I'm grateful for you. Happy Thanksgiving. You guys were really terrific during the transaction when that problem popped up. I think of it often. I mean, who doesn't love that, receiving that email? You're on mute, Donna.
Notice that this is something very specific. It's not a blanket I sent to 1,800 people, Happy Thanksgiving.
Right.
No.
Right. Yep. Yep. Okay. No. That's a
sincere
really
sincere is the word sincere. That works for me.
Yes.
Sincere.
Yep. Yep. It's a genuine expression of gratitude. Right? Yeah, it's so important. So how could that help you build your database? How could being grateful help you build
your database? People want to work with grateful people. People want to refer to grateful people.
There you go. Yeah, gratitude, you know, we talk about this sometimes, you know, in coaching. Gratitude is one of those practices that opens the space, right? Just as, you know, sarcasm and negativity and grumpiness, they close the space. It's like people want to get away from that. It's not attractive. Right? It's not attractive physically, emotionally, anyway, right? I don't want to hang around cranky people, right? But when we create that energy of gratitude, it opens the space and it's very attractive, right? It doesn't mean we have a good hairstyle. It means energetically it attracts people to us, right? It makes people want to, I like hanging around grateful, happy people, you know? So it can absolutely help build our business. So one of the things that that we are all grateful for at Your Coaching Matters is all of you. So I just wanted to end this call with a happy Thanksgiving from everyone at Your Coaching Matters and to just let you know how very, very grateful we are for all of you. And I love that I found a happy Thanksgiving thing that was talking about giving thanks today, tomorrow, and always. Because we do give thanks for all of you every single day. Coach Mike, Coach Donna, you want to say anything in closing before I?
I think you said it well.
You did.
All right. So everyone have a very wonderful, happy, and safe holiday and happy Thanksgiving from all of us to all of you. Have a great week.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.